Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. 1 hour in the books, three to go. We'll keep the show moving right along, and let's do that by going up to Minnesota. Let's talk to a guy who covers the Vikings, a Vikings reporter for KFAN up in Minneapolis. A.J. Mansour is on the line with us. A.J., how you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Obviously not the start Mike Zimmer and the Vikings wanted to get off to. It's one thing to lose to Green Bay. They've got Aaron Rodgers. They're a pretty good team, as we know from last year when they went 13-3. But just the way they looked in Indianapolis, what is the level of concern right now in your area?
Oh, it's concerning, that's to say the least. I think the fan base is split right now on those that are going to ride and die with this team and those that are already looking toward the draft. Obviously, that's the way that NFL fans operate. But there is some serious level for concern on judging mainly where this team is. Where are they in the form of a rebuild? Are they at the beginning of a rebuild? Do they have the talent that they just need to put together, get healthy, and play better? Really, what is this team right now? Because there are high expectations going into this season, coming off some successful years, taking some steps in the right direction, and it looks like collectively the 53 men that they went to battle with at the beginning of this season took a step backwards, and that hasn't changed through two games. There hasn't been on the sidelines to rectify those problems in those games, and it really does have Minnesota Vikings fans pretty nervous about what the rest of the season could look like.
Kirk Cousins is certainly a lightning rod figure. You bring up Kirk Cousins, people tend to have an opinion on how they feel about him. How do the fan base, you know, people are calling in to KFAN. What are people saying about Kirk Cousins? What's the temperature of the fan base on him right now?
Oh, man, you know, every season there with Kirk, there has been a point in time where the naysayers come out in full force, and they paid him too much money. He's not a starting quarterback, not an elite quarterback, I should say. He can't get this team to the Super Bowl, and they're really loud right now. You know, this ebb and flow of Kirk's career, where you have the you like that Kirk Cousins, where he wins a game for the Redskins. And he fights back, and he's fiery, and he's a leader on the field. And then the next week he goes out and throws bad decisions, bad interceptions. That's what the Washington fans told us we were going to get when Minnesota signed Kirk Cousins. And really, that they've gotten. There's been no consistency. He puts up big numbers, but some of it comes in garbage time when you're trying to you know, you have to go away from the game. And I think that's where the biggest knock on Kirk is if things go according to plan, and Vikings can run the game plan that they put into the playbook throughout the week to prepare for that opponent, things go pretty well for Kirk Cousins. But when he has to adjust on the fly, I'm just not sure he has that ability, and he for sure doesn't have the ability to play quick catch-up. You know, this team relies on Dalvin Cook, and they can't use Dalvin Cook when they're down by doubles early in the game, and they panic. And I think the Kirk can't handle that. They can't protect him. He stares down his wide receivers, and things just get worse from there. And that's what we've seen for 2 weeks in a row already.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, I know that they were in the lead after the first quarter, and things got away from them in the second quarter a little bit. But still, there's a long ways to go in an NFL game. And for Dalvin Cook, who they just paid, had 16 touches in that game against the Colts. That was a little perplexing to me.
Yeah, no, you make an investment player the day before the season starts, and you make a statement, and you say that you are important to us. You are a focal point of this offense, and then you go out that next morning, and you don't give him the football. And then the next week, you do the same sort of thing. And, you know, what's perplexing to me is Dalvin's tenure with the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he's had some injury concerns, and that was kind of some of the question with that contract. Would it happen? When would they get it to him? But what one thing he's done is he's been an extension of the passing game here in Minnesota, whether it be an outlet for Kirk if he gets pressured, or a designed, you know, screenplay, whatever it is, get the ball in this guy's hands and he can make things happen. So what has been strange through 2 weeks is seeing that they get away from the run game, which is their bread and butter, right? The game plan has gotten out of hand. They can't do that. But what they do is they completely turn away from him. and take him out of the passing game as well. And then that's where they're finding problems. So, you know, there's a saying in the league that you just get the ball in the hands of your dynamic players, and he's a dynamic player that they're just not getting the ball in his hands right now.
They've taken a blow on defense the last 2 weeks with injuries. How are they on that front right now as the dust has settled going into this game against the Titans?
Yeah, too great. you know, they replaced six starters on the defensive side of the football leading into the season, and as you mentioned, injuries factored in. Primarily, or most importantly, this last week, Anthony Barr lost for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. That's the outside linebacker there. You know, they, you know, the depth chart, as soon as somebody gets injured and you look to see who they have, you know, behind this person, or what are the options that they have long term. The Vikings' unofficial depth chart, which clearly this is the digital director uploading and not the coaches, so they call it their unofficial depth chart on their website. But they didn't have anybody listed in that Sam linebacker spot behind Anthony Barr. They're leaning on a rookie, Troy Dye, out of Oregon this week against TC, and they're bringing in a bunch of people right now, undrafted rookies that slipped through the cracks, people that were cut off of practice squads to try and fill in some depth right now. So it's a big loss to lose Anthony Barr physically on the field. He's good in pass coverage. He's good in pass pressure. But he's one of the leaders on that football team too, and he was, you know, one of Mike Zimmer's first draft picks as a head coach, and those two were lockstep. You know, mentally they knew what they were doing, they knew what the other was thinking, and they could make adjustments on the fly. And now you've got new guys coming in to take that role over. Eric Kendrick's probably going to be your leader as far as the linebacking core goes, but it's just a different situation, and you have a lot of young players over there, and who's one of your leaders. It's going to have an impact, and against a good football team that likes to run the ball right up the middle, you could see that that come to you know, be a big problem for the Vikings this weekend.
AJ Mansour from KFAN in Minneapolis is here with us previewing the Minnesota Vikings. So obviously we know Diggs is gone. He's in Buffalo. So how do you think, even though they're 0-2, how do you think Adam Thielen has kind of handled the pressure of being the guy so far?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. Adam had a decent first week, a good first year, and then got off to a really good start on the first drive against Indianapolis, and then he didn't get the ball the rest of the game. Three catches, 31 yards on the first drive, and Kirk was trying to force it into him. They bracket coveraged him a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see this week how he bounces back from a frustrating game. You know, in-game adjustments are one thing, but week-to-week adjustments are really important. And if he's unable to do that, and Kirk continues to use him as a focal point, the guy he wants to get the ball, maybe because he doesn't trust his young wide receivers and Olavisi Johnson and Justin Jefferson yet, you know, Kyle Rudolph, tight end, has been a non-factor. He's more of a red zone threat, and they just can't get in the red zone, so that takes him out of the picture. So really, he's just been looking, Kirk, that is, at Adam Thielen, and if teams double up on Adam Thielen, he gets frustrated, and he can't get open, and that really puts a stall in that offense. So they're really feeling the impact of not having another dynamic receiving threat in this offense right now. And whether or not somebody can emerge, you know, whether it's Justin Jefferson used to emerge into that role that Stephon Diggs had, the specifics of that role that Diggs held, that over-the-top speed, the deep pass game, nobody on paper really has that, and nobody has stepped up to show that they can bring that ability. So they're going to have to figure something else out to get another threat so that Adam doesn't get double-teamed every week. And the passing game can get moving. Otherwise, they're going to remain unbalanced, and this team cannot function if they are an unbalanced offense.
Speaking of roles, I mean, a guy that we got to know quite well when he was here was Tajae Sharpe, and I mean, he's done nothing in two games. What's his role supposed to be? What can it be in that receiving core?
Yeah, you know, like it's been a weird season, a weird preseason. We haven't really had the access to see what their plans are. Typically, we can watch practice, and even if we're not filming it, we're there observing. They have opportunities to do that. So what their role is for him, I think it's fluid, and I really, that's a bummer to say, because at week three in the NFL season, you'd love to see some guys kind of settling into those roles. But like you said, he has been a non-factor. They targeted him once on a deep pass to the end zone, a play action kind of a situation where they tried to draw the cover to get the defense to bite. They didn't bite. He couldn't get open. And then they went right back away from him. So it's clear that Kirk doesn't have confidence in him. You know, whether or not the offensive coordinator is calling plays to go his direction is yet to be seen. Right now, they just need possession wide receivers. I guess that's the best thing I can give you. Possession wide receivers that can move the chains, because they're proven that they're not going to be a dynamic offense and take the top off of the defense. So if he can be one of those guys that can settle across the middle, get some passes there, and, you know, come up big on third down the way that a guy like Jarius Wright used to do for this team in years past, that's a role that's vacant right now, and it would be an opportunity for him to settle in and take that opportunity to take that as his role, probably his best bet to continue to stay on the football field.
The Titans, of course, are waiting for Jadeveon Clowney to get settled in and to make an impact on defense, but the Vikings are in a similar situation with Yannick Ngakoue, having acquired him during training camp, a big defensive end. I know he's already registered a sack on the year, but two tackles, pedestrian numbers so far. But what do you think that how do you think he's fit in so far? And obviously, what do you think the ceiling is for him?
Yeah, you know, it's been a very quiet 2 weeks. That sack he had last week was an opportunistic one. It was a big one. It was a speed rush off of the end. Strip sack, which is what he's known for. So it was good to see that. Really was the first time that we had seen it. He was very quiet in week number one. Outside of that sack, was quiet in week number two. So, you know, it's tough to say whether the Vikings' intentions in bringing Yannick Ngakoue in were to replace Danielle Hunter because they knew that the injury that he had keep him out for a little bit, or if it was to complement him. You know, clearly his ceiling Hunter is also on the football field, and you have two very dynamic, very powerful, very fast defensive ends on each side. That's when this team and this defense is going to be the best. They're going to be able to put pressure on both sides and put some pressure on the quarterbacks. But right now, all the other teams have had to do is chip him a little bit with the tight end. Sometimes they're not even double teaming him at all, and he's just kind of still settling in. So he came in late, you know, we'll allow him the opportunity to really get used to this team and this defense and what Mike Zimmer is asking of him. But right now, it you know, people were excited when they made that trade, and that excitement has definitely faded off, as well as excitement for this team. But their bigger problem, to be honest with you, is on the interior of that defense. Michael Pierce, the guy they signed in the offseason to replace Linval Joseph, opted out for COVID-19 reasons. So they thought they were going to have a guy there to stop that middle that they don't. And now they're leaning on a guy who's been here for a while, Shamar Stephen, who just hasn't been able to stop the run game. So teams that we've seen, Jonathan Taylor last week, running right up the middle, 5 yards every single time, getting 100 yards the hard way, but they just couldn't stop him. And the Colts were able to move the ball up and down the field that way. Now we look at Derrick Henry coming in and what he can bring to the table. That's where the biggest hole on this defense is right now, is right up the middle of that defensive line. So they need to help Neil back out there to get back and figure out what they're going to do. But right now, Yannick Ngakoue has left some to be desired, as well as the rest of this defense has as well.
Last thing quickly, no fans in the stands Sunday?
That's correct. There are for sure no fans in the stands through this week, and then they're going to make a decision based on the governor's decision in Minnesota. So we'll have to see.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the visit. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Really appreciate it.
You too, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, AJ Mansour, he's the Vikings reporter for KFAN up in Minneapolis. We'll come back. We'll discuss a little bit more about this matchup. Also, your feedback. If you've tried to get tickets, a conversation from the first hour, give us your feedback on our phone line or text line. We would love to hear from you at 615-737-1025. We'll be back. Here on Darren Donick and Chase, Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at high noon. Got the rest of the hour to get any feedback. If you would like to weigh in on trying to get tickets or this matchup, feel free. Our phone line, text lines are wide open, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. We've had a lot of feedback already on the text line. We had calls in the first hour, and then we had to get to A.J. Mansour to talk about the Vikings, but we can do that the rest of this hour. Chase, I know you've got the screen in front of you. Is there a couple texts you would like to read?
Sure. 615-737-1025, our text line driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. Greg says, I hope the Predators are taking notes if they have to limit attendance at Bridgestone. The only fair way to do this is to sell them by seniority. The Titans blew it. Kathleen, I'm about to call about my one ticket that I have, and if I can't get one, Kathleen will not be happy, and you know that isn't pretty. She, of course, a Predators and Titans season ticket holder. Got a screenshot here from an unnamed texter of tickets that are for sale. Now, these are the cheapest is $600, which I've seen. We talked about the one earlier that was $1,300 in a certain section in the lower bowl. Tim says, my friend has been a season ticket holder, club level, for 3 years now. He called me yesterday to let me know he got tickets to four games, asking me if I wanted to go. That's Timmy in Camden. So we are hearing some stories of it going smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're hearing and reading even more where it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't it be smooth across the board?
Well, let's keep the feedback coming. I think we want, the more people weigh in, the more of a sense we're going to get of the efficiency rating here.
Yeah.
We're all about efficiency. 615-737-1025.
Here's
if you've
one
been
more.
Trying to get the tickets, keep the feedback coming. We want to pass this along.
Alicia Jane says, my boss's neighbor has gotten season tickets for years. Sometimes we would go with him. He hasn't even gotten the automated response yet after four tries. He threw his phone this morning and gave up.
Oh.
Wow. He threw the phone. We got a phone throw.
Well, I mean, we know there have been bad experiences. We've already read and seen some of that. I mean, that text I read at the end of the show yesterday was certainly not flattering.
No. Adam in Portland, it took me over 3 hours last night on the website, and it kept crashing to get my tickets. It was a major pain, but I got them, and I'm happy. People need to just be happy. Well, you're happy because you got your tickets, Adam, and that's awesome. I'm glad that it worked. But the ones that, I mean, if it kept crashing and you didn't get your tickets, I don't think you'd be happy. And that's what people are going through.
Why is the site crashing, and why is it taking 3 hours? For less than 7,000 tickets for each game, I guess. How are they doing this? Are they selling more for each game? We've known are they going on and selling more for each game? How is that working? Because things have to be right for them to move up. So how are they doing that?
I'm not sure on that. And, you know, I mean, even though you're selling 7,000, you're having even more people trying to get in. It just seems like a flawed system. And again, I don't know if the system is necessarily on the Titans, if it's mandated by the NFL, if it's Ticketmaster. I mean, that's what we're trying to find out. But the fact of the matter is it's messing up for a lot of people. And, you know, we've seen mess ups by this organization for a while. And so it's very hard not to look at them and go, hey, get your stuff together.
If you're somebody that it doesn't bother taking 3 hours to do that process, I mean, good for you. I find that inexcusable. I'd find that it's just unacceptable. 3 hours to do that? You gotta be kidding me.
I'm not a season ticket holder, and my family haven't been. I just would go to, you know, a handful of games a year. So I don't know this process. And obviously with my job, I mean, it's very different when I go to a game now. But I, like Chris called in earlier, and I have several other friends that have told me that they knew that this would be a pain, and so they just deferred to next year. And so they just didn't even bother with this year. I know a lot of people did that because the Titans gave them
the option to opt out. Obviously, the opt-out people, there's nothing to discuss because they've opted out. So,
but don't you think there was uncertainty. You didn't know if fans would be allowed at all, but then there are some people that are thinking, well, I knew this was going to be a pain because things have been a pain in the past, so I'm just going to defer to next year. That's saying a lot. Well,
maybe. Yeah, sure. I don't know, but, I mean, I'm sure that was in play. It could be. I mean, we knew the system wasn't going to be perfect. I mean, you knew it wasn't going to be, you know, it was going to be limited. If there were going to be fans, you knew it was going to be limited, which would create a system where you have to pick and choose. And so, yeah, I mean, there's that. And it's got to go smooth, which certainly there's been times in the past it hasn't gone smooth. I just am amazed that, you know, Chris, who called in the first hour, who's had PSLs for 2+ decades since day one, since Memphis. I mean, 26 PSLs, now down to 10, and he hasn't talked to anybody. He hasn't even had an opportunity yet. It's not till tomorrow.
Got an automated email response.
That's just...
See, that's where I have an issue. Because, if you're a ticket rep, I would think that the organization would want to say, all right, we're going to reach out to all our season ticket holders, you know, personally. And that's a lot. I know it is, but you've had the time. So do that and go, hey, listen, there's a lot of uncertainty with this process. Just want to let you know this is what we expect you will expect, but understand that it can change. You know, just have some communication. But I guess that hadn't happened.
Did you guys see where the Chargers team doctor, have you seen this whole Tyrod Taylor thing that's come out? You know, we know that last minute he didn't play, and so Justin Herbert was kind of thrust into the game, and he played his first ever NFL game. But the Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff. He was trying to administer a pain-killing injection.
Right.
I guess the Tyrod Taylor had cracked ribs, and the team doctor accidentally punctured his lung.
Yeah, it's a window into the world of what goes on behind the scenes. You know, those shots are administered way more often than you would want. But
yeah,
you got a guy with cracked ribs trying to play, and so he gets a shot, and now not only is the shot ineffective, but now you got a punctured lung. That's a tough double whammy there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I guess the good news is he didn't take any shots to the ribs during the game because he couldn't play.
Yeah,
but I mean, just the whole premise of you're trying to play with cracked ribs. That's life in the NFL.
Yeah, but I've never
it's brutal.
I don't think I've ever seen a story like that. I mean, I know mistakes happen, but that's a pretty big mistake. Puncturing a guy's lungs. And yeah, I saw that tweet by Adam Schefter earlier and was like, wait, what? That happened? Yeah, that's a bizarre story.
We talked yesterday about Patrick Hornquist on the show. In fact, we had Adam Vinken on, and he was throwing out, you know, a reunion tour of former Predators, possibly, you know, landing back here. Hornquist was one of those guys. Well, that's not happening. He's been traded to the Florida Panthers in exchange for defenseman Mike Matheson.
Mike Matheson is a first-round draft pick that has not lived up to the big investment that the Panthers made in him. He signed through 2026 at something like $4.8 million against the cap.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that. But I think he's got talent. The Penguins, I think, want more stability on D. So they're going to take the gamble that they can get more out of him. And Patrick Hornquist isn't getting any younger. So he's not signed as long. He's got, two more full seasons? I think he signed through 2023 at over $5 million. So you get a bigger hit in the short term if you're the Panthers, but long term you get out of the contract that you signed Matheson to. It's an interesting trade. I don't think there's any money being exchanged that I've seen. But it also tells you that Florida is not likely to be able to re-sign some of their guys, like Hoffman for one, Dadonoff is the other, I think, that's going to hit the market. You know, decent scoring touch there, both of those guys. So that's a interesting move. Hornquist, a, you know, rock, a bedrock kind of guy on the two Stanley Cup winning teams for Pittsburgh, no longer a Penguin.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting trade for Florida. And because we talked to,
you know, what's their plan? I guess they want some of that grit, you know, that they've been missing. Right?
Sure. I think he could fit with that. You know, Quenneville could, you know, knows how to use these veteran players. And as they're trying to get to the next step, you know, whatever the next step is for them.
But he's expensive, but the benefit for the Panthers is they rid themselves of a contract that they weren't wild about. Right. I don't know if that was Kyle Turris kind of frustration on their part, but it wasn't a return on the investment that they looked at and liked all the way through 2026. I mean, that's a long contract.
Yeah, so
but you don't hire Joel Quenneville and, you know, go get that goalie and you just kind of sit there and be satisfied with being mediocre, right? They're obviously trying to take major steps forward. And I expect the Panthers will continue to be aggressive, right?
Yeah, and it just you have to wonder how long the process is going to take. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected it to be overnight, but as you said, I mean, they've made some big signings. They brought in Joel Quenneville. You know, you want relatively quick results. So, and I'm not saying that Patrick Hornquist is going to come in and all of a sudden they're going to contend for the Stanley Cup. As we've mentioned with him, he's, you know, he's past his prime. He's taken a beating over the years. But
they have star power, and now they need some guys to do some dirty work.
Right, and they just got that. I mean, I think it's a good move for them because the star power can continue to build and play like they need to play, and then you can have a guy like Hornquist that gets in those dirty areas and, you know, takes care of business. So
the problem is they're going to lose a couple of weapons, and so they won't quite have the firepower that they had. They kind of were a run and gun for a Joel Quenneville team, especially, and the problem was they couldn't stop a beach ball with their goalie. Right, it all starts there. That Joel Quenneville looked a lot smarter if Sergei Bobrovsky played anywhere near his capability. Right, he wasn't just not living up to a $10 million a year contract or whatever it was he got.
He wasn't good.
He was one of the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And yet they still were somewhat competitive. They might have made the playoffs in the full 82. That's hard to overcome when your goaltending is that bad with your franchise guy. But they're going to probably lose Hoffman and Dadonov. So it's going to be a different look. But if they can't get Bobrovsky right, then it may be all for naught anyway.
True.
Then go sign Corey Crawford. Have a reunion with Joel Quenneville.
But who's going to take the contract, though, Bob?
Yeah, I mean,
especially in this market, in this environment, where nobody's got fans coming in for the next, you know, not full fans probably for the next year, but we'll see.
Let's go to Adam. Adam wants to weigh in on our discussion. He's calling in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what's going on?
Yeah, I guess mine was, like, bittersweet, man. Like, it was hard, but I got it, but I've only – all right, so I had my seats in 2009. It was, I think, when Jake Locker come in. And then I've had them since then. But they're – like, all my season ticket buddies, it's really no organization or, like, rhyme or reason as to how we were assigned dates. I got yesterday at 3. I jump on there at, like, 2:30, and it says I'm in line, and it took, like, 2 hours just to get through the line. So I did other things. I know you said who has 3 hours. So I was doing other things while I was doing this, but – once I got in there, like I would click on first, it would say I had no events scheduled, which it shouldn't have said that. It should have said you have games scheduled. And then finally it loads up, hey, you have 7 games to pick from. I go and try to load the Bears game, try to load the Browns game, whatever, and it would error me out. And it did that for like an hour. And then finally it lets me view a map, and then I would pick the seats I wanted, and it would error me out and start me over. And then I had like a 5-minute window where the clouds lifted and I was able to add and actually, you know, fill a cart. So I was able to get like 5 games in there and pay for those. But, yeah, it was a process, man. I understand why people are pissed. And I probably, had I not been able to check out, I'd probably be exactly like them. But I'm also like, hey, this is unusual circumstances for everybody, including the Titans ticket office. And you know, their servers probably weren't ready for this. And that's why everything started crashing like that.
So you kept getting errors?
Like crazy error messages. And that's another thing that kind of bothered me is I was told, hey, reach out to your ticket rep. And I tried to reach out to my ticket rep, and it would go straight to voicemail. So that was the problem. Luckily, I got lucky and was able to do it on my own, but not a whole lot of support from the internal team on that. But I was able to get it. I'm a happy guy today. I know there's a lot of people that aren't, though, man.
Well, I'm glad you got your tickets, and thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in and gave us a little more info.
Yeah, thanks, because Adam. Honestly, what he just described is what Chris said, right? You can try to call your ticket rep, and you get immediate voicemail. I mean, that's just unacceptable. I mean, you know this is coming. This is your job. This is what you – what is the point of a ticket rep?
Well, they don't have enough reps, I think, is the essential.
Why not? Focus. Why? You're an NFL team. You're an NFL team. What do you mean you don't have enough ticket reps? I mean,
that's been my understanding. I don't think they have an army of ticket reps like a lot of teams do. I'd like to know the number, but I think
if that's the case, that's unacceptable. That's not good enough. That's not a good answer.
Well, especially when this scenario comes up, you know, it's easier to get away with it when it's a normal functioning year and you got your 8 games. You know, it's not, you don't have 41 games or 82 games like a baseball team does. So it's probably an easier thing to get away with. But for this is when it can catch up to you with your customer service. I don't know that they physically have enough people to be able to answer the individual questions.
They have reps, though, assigned to them. So those people should be available.
What's the ratio of reps per fan? Like, how many fans does – or how many accounts does each rep have? That's the key question.
I don't know. That's a great
question. You have 68,000 seats. You don't have 17,000 seats in arena. So you would – in theory, you would have –
Yeah, but Willie, they don't have 68,000 season ticket holders. Let's be perfectly honest.
Oh, I know.
They don't even come close to that. Yeah, not even close.
Well, yeah, I know that. But I'm saying the stadium's bigger. So
I mean, what is their season ticket base? Honestly, what do we think?
I don't know.
I mean, what would be your guess? I know we don't know, but what would be your guess? Half of capacity?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe 25,000 to 30,000.
I would hope it's more than that.
I wouldn't go higher.
Have you
than
seen
30.
That stadium?
I wouldn't go higher than 30. There's no way I'd go higher than 30.
I mean, I know that season ticket holders are selling their tickets to opposing fans, and so you have that. But I mean, I look at that place over the last few years, even in this 9-7 window, and I mean, you see a ton of opposing fans, and I can't sit there and go, okay, well, it's half and half. I mean, it's not. And so I mean, I don't know. I would say 25,000 to 30,000.
Well, what if it was half? Guess. What if it was half of capacity? 35,000 season ticket holders. You're an NFL franchise that's worth billions. You can't accommodate 35,000 of your customers? You can't be staffed properly to handle and service your 35,000 customers.
But, well, remember this too, your account, right? Like the caller that called before and says he has 10 PSA. So that's 10 for one person, right? So the number of accounts is a much lower number. Most
True.
People have more than one.
Right. Very good
ticket.
Point.
So you're representing.
Right. You're not even representing 35,000 people.
No, it's not even close to that.
Like
it's,
you're representing maybe 10,000 people.
Right. But that's what I'm getting at is you have to have the right amount of people that are servicing those. And it's not a constant. You know, I'm obviously up close. I see what the Predator people do because there's more of a constant flow of games, right? Okay, next week there's 2 games. Then they're on the road for a week and a half. Then there's 8 games in the next, you know, in the next 15 days at home. So there's a constant communication line that takes place. That's not the case in the NFL. You got your 8 games and, you know, 2 preseason games. But when it's crunch time and you really need, you know, clear communication, that's when the tickets go on sale, that's when something like this comes up, or when you host a playoff game, that's when it really comes to roost if you're not on top of it and have the right amount of people to service all the different questions. Can you imagine how many questions have come up with this? With
that's
your season
why
ticket
it should
account?
Be all hands on deck. I mean, literally,
oh, yeah,
all
but,
hands
but if
on
you,
deck.
If you
Everybody.
If you don't have that many people hired to do the job, then you can't instantly, magically bring people in and have and expect them to know how to do that. If you don't have enough people, you don't have,
then that's
have enough
not,
people.
That's not, yeah, but that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
I understand.
That's not a good answer.
I understand that right now is a difficult time, but I agree with Darren. You got to have the manpower to take care of your season ticket base. And if you don't in normal times, that's a red flag. It just is. That's you're not doing it right. You have to have enough people. And I'm not saying, you know, that you need basically whatever, but you need enough people to handle however many season ticket holders you have. I don't understand why that's even an issue with them.
And look, if Ticketmaster is at fault on a lot of this, and this is all about their system and it's crashing and all these error codes and kicking you out and taking 3 hours to purchase your tickets, then if you're the Titans, you know, we just had Burke Nihil on, what was it, last week, just recently, you should be crawling up Ticketmaster's you-know-what and the league saying, this is who you've teamed up with. They're making us look like idiots. Our fans,
right.
We've got fans that are destroying us. They are super, super mad right now. And this is your fault.
But this is part of the process, is the system, knowing that your partner is Ticketmaster and has been for a long time, there should be a constant flow of communication between the team and Ticketmaster on this very thing, leading up to it, you know, and then obviously all the way throughout it. So I don't know where the breakdown in the system there, because Darren, you're right. If it's Ticketmaster, then they need to be all over them for sure. I want to continue to hear feedback from the experiences of the fans. Already we've heard enough to where it sounds like there's a problem, but keep the feedback coming. You call or text at 615-737-1025.
Greg says on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Darren, I have friends that have season tickets to the Titans for almost 10 years. They never spoke to their rep until like 2 years ago.
I mean, what am I supposed to say to that?
Are they trying to get a hold of that rep and not getting a response? Sometimes if the system's working smoothly, maybe you never need to talk to your rep in some cases. The key is when you have a question. You know, you've been to, you know, any number of Predators games. You walk in there, there's always people that have questions. My tickets aren't on my phone. I'm trying to get them to so-and-so. You have to constantly be fielding questions left and right for every game. That has to be true to some degree for a Titans game. Although they're not all ticketless, right? They haven't gone to that stage. That's part of the issue with the reselling. Right, if it's a paper ticket, you never know. You can't control where that ticket goes. If it's an electronic ticket, which most people are going to these days, then you have a little bit more of a say in what happens to that ticket when you sell it to who's supposed to be your fan, right?
Ricky on the text line says, my rep has changed 3 times in 4 years.
Well, that's not uncommon, because you're not paying those ticket reps, you know, $200,000 a year.
Sure.
Those are usually entry level jobs coming out of college, first job working
and
for a pro team.
And then the good ones stick around. And
the
then
good
they
ones
move
up the chain.
They move up.
And,
yeah,
and other
up.
People move
right.
move up and move on. It's not for everybody, but
hopefully
those
people
are
about
trained
that.
And you learn.
I just want everybody, whoever it is, for you to have a relationship with them. It doesn't matter who it is. If they're changing every year, fine. Hey, I'm Jennifer. I'm replacing Chris. I know you had Chris last year. I'm Jennifer.
Yeah.
I'm new. Chris
People
moved
skills.
On. Chris moved up. Whatever Chris's story is, I'm now here to help you. This is how you can get in touch with me. If you need anything, you just let me know. I wouldn't get hung up in, you know, it flipping every year if that's the case. I just would be hung up on, are they in constant contact? Do they tell you, hey, I'm here, this is who you need to talk to now. Who you talked to last year is gone. I'm your new person. I'm right here.
Right.
Here's my contact. That to me is acceptable, and that's okay.
And the next step, Darren, if you're really on top of it, would be for that person to call in advance. As soon as that announcement is made, we're going to have 7,000 fans for the reps to call as many of their account list as possible to say, here's the system. I just want you to know ahead of time, this is what you're going to need to do to get your tickets. Here's where you fall on the priority list. All of those things. If you can jump out ahead of time and answer questions on the front end, even if it's not a personal phone call, an email that really explains somebody that you're in personal contact, not an automated thing, right? That would help a lot, right?
I have not heard, and help me with this.
And maybe this is happening. I'm not a season ticket holder, so I don't know what's happening or not happening. I'm laying out what I think has been a successful
strategy. Well, I know for
strategy. And this is unique, right? This doesn't happen all the time, so you got to really be on top of it.
For 3 years, I had Predator season tickets, as you know. Not because I needed to, because I had access to whatever tickets I wanted. I did it to help the franchise back in the day when they were struggling. And you know where my seats were, Willie. They were one row in front of yours.
Right.
Okay, right, like five rows from the ice.
Around the same time, doing the same thing.
I had the same ticket rep the whole time. The whole time. And I always knew how to get a hold of my ticket rep.
Well,
knew how to get a hold of me. And I know, like I said, it doesn't matter whether they were there the whole time or not. It's just a matter. I don't, and help me with this. We're around a lot of Predators season ticket holders, a lot. I don't hear the same stories of, I have no clue who my rep is. I have no idea how to get a hold of anybody. I can't get a hold of anybody. Am I wrong on that?
Or no, you're not.
I don't want to be misinforming people, but I don't get those stories. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. I talk to a lot of season ticket holders, and I don't get that story.
Well, we've gotten texts from several that have tickets to both, and Kathleen has weighed in again and says, every time I've been assigned a new rep for the Preds, which has been often, I receive an email from the new rep. And other people have said that they hear from their Preds rep on a regular basis. You know, when there's any type of changes, there is communication. And some have said with the Titans, they don't. And that at Preds games, you can actually find reps. There are reps that are, walking around or available to you at the game. And that's not the case at the Titans.
All right, we'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck at high noon. By the way, Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers is saying that his running back, Tevin Coleman, will likely go on IR with that knee injury, which means he will be out at least 4 weeks. The 49ers have been ravished by injuries. I mean, ravished the first 2 weeks. It is going to affect them.
Do we have a picture of Raheem Mostert, how long he's out?
I don't think he's going to be out for any. I think he may miss a week. He may be back. I'm not hearing bad stuff on him. But losing Thomas.
Maybe not as bad as they feel.
Thomas and
initially.
Bosa out for the year. Yikes. D Ford, no idea his timetable for a return. I just told you about Tevin Campbell, Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle. I mean, they're a mess from injuries. It's going to affect the 49ers big time. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game. I've got two tickets to paradise. Won't you pack your bags for me tonight? I've got two tickets to paradise. I've got two tickets. How long is the wait for tickets to paradise? Will there be an error code?
Well,
will you get kicked out if you're trying to get two tickets to paradise?
We're just looking for two. We're not looking for eight. We need two tickets to paradise.
How long will that take? Will you get rescheduled?
Depends on what organization you're buying.
What are the Ticketmaster fees for two tickets to paradise?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
I'd like to know that. All questions that we don't have answers to.
A salute to the late Eddie Money.
That's right. By the way, this week, our NFL Game of the Week here on ESPN 102.5 The Game will be the Cowboys and the Seahawks. That should be a good one. That coverage will start at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and our NFL Game of the Week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, where Chase resides.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so do we have some more feedback?
We do.
For people on our text line.
Keep it coming.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I'm going to read through these because this is fascinating stuff. So this one, and put your name, please, so we can give you credit. 615-737-1025. Different event, but I got tickets to the drag race in October from Ticketmaster. It's been canceled. I've emailed Ticketmaster twice about a refund and still have yet to hear from them, and it's been at least 3 or 4 weeks. Ticketmaster is just awful. That's from John on our text line.
But by the way, I will follow up with that. As you know, Chase, we had bought tickets, a group of us,
yep,
way, way back to go to, which the concert would have already happened, in early August to, Truist Park.
Yep.
I always forget the new name. Truist Park in Atlanta, which is the home of the Braves. And we were going to see
the
Green
NL
Day.
The NL East champion Braves, sir.
Okay. sorry, for the official title. They did
that
clinch
right.
It. Like that was a big surprise. But we were going to see Green Day, a big concert there at their stadium. And obviously all this COVID hit. And so we had the opportunity a couple months ago to opt out because they've come up with a new date in 2021. We were going on a Saturday night. It's been moved to a Tuesday night in Atlanta in 2021. And it's like, you know, all right, let's just bag it. Because it worked out perfect. We were gonna make a weekend of it, and now it's on a Tuesday night, so we're not gonna do it. So I put in for a refund for all of our tickets because I had put it on our credit card, which was a lot of money. It took them, I want to say, 6 weeks, close to 2 months before I got that refund. When they're the ones who asked me, do you want to basically opt out?
Right.
And so I ended up opting out and going for the refund, and it took at least 6 weeks to get my money back, which was well over $1,000, by the way, which was over $1,000 for our whole group. Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
It's too long.
Way too long. Because we
you had my money. You had my money this whole time, which was a long time. And
it's all electronic.
And I've asked for a refund because the concert's been pushed for another year, and it took you a month and a half to get me my money back, you had forever.
To pay homage to a segment you guys did for a long time, why is it that when you pay, it's instant? It instantly comes out of off your credit card or your bank account or whatever, but you try and get a refund, and it takes 6 weeks or 2 months. I mean, isn't it all technology? Isn't it all instant? You just push a button, bam, it can go the other way. Floors me that they don't do that.
Why is that?
Why is it? I miss why is it.
Okay, so you've got some text to read.
Yes,
text.
Here's another one. This is a long one, no name. These types of things are what keep the Titans organization from taking the next steps towards an elite organization. While they have been consciously working to make the on-field product better, their fan experience sucks. The stadium experience has been abysmal for years with the concessions debacle, along with the numbers of gates being open to even get into the stadium. The organization does not care about their fans or the people that pay to see their product. You don't hear these issues with top-tier NFL teams. Heck, even another major sports franchise in your own city is much, much better than the Titans. I think they probably mean the Preds. That says a lot. Zach Mulder says, only issue I've ever had with the Preds is me and my group of friends have sat together for years and we all have different reps. Okay.
That's not that big of a problem.
Right. But I think that's
the point.
As
long as you know how to get a hold of them, that's the only thing that matters.
Greg Roberts says, Nashville SC is the same way. I get a call once a month from my rep, Graham. We talk and stay informed. I decided not to go to the games a month ago when NSC decided to go ahead of the season just in case there were fans allowed in. He said before that, I've had a different rep for Preds almost every year, but I always get calls, emails from them with updates. I've been a season ticket holder for 6 years, but I always know who they are and where I can reach them.
Seems to be a constant theme. Mm-hmm. And by the way, good for Nashville SC. That's the way you do it. Just check in. No, just know who your rep is. That's the problem. The text you read, what was it, two or three ago, that was well said. It's why we're talking about it, because we've dedicated a lot of time over the years in letting you, the fans, vent your frustrations mm-hmm. with the Titans, whether it was the gates, whether it was concessions, whether it was game day presentation. And by the way, they were right. They have put a lot of focus into getting the product better, and that should be a focus. I mean, there's no doubt. Winning sells, and winning gets people excited. Winning is a good thing, and so they have definitely that is a good place to pour your attention to. But you also have to take care of the other stuff. Those are your customers, by the way, which would help you with all these other things. And you know, we just keep having these same type of themes all the time with the Titans. Like, when is it ever going to be smooth? Like, smooth right. across the board. Like, I'm happy that some people did have a smooth, you know, experience, and everything was fine. That's great. But it needs to be that way for everybody. You can't have it split. Or in this case, I don't even know if it's split. I kind of feel like it's about 70-30 frustration to smooth.
Rainey on Twitter says, my sales rep changed with the Titans and they never told me. I've been emailing no one for months.
Yeah, it's just unacceptable. Can't do that. Can't do that. All right, we'll come back. Start the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck. Our weekly chat with him is in the on-deck circle here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.